This is the Celtic Underground podcast with me, Harry Brady, St Anthony, and Sean, fresh out of Heracles. So you will have come out from behind the sofa, dropped your hands from covering your eyes to watch the game through your fingers, and you'll be celebrating the fact that Celtic are through to the group stages of the Europa League and looking forward to another roller coaster Celtic fixture on Sunday. I'm joined by Anthony and Sean. Sean watched the game in Heracles, he told us just before the podcast commenced. I'm not sure if you'll guess that through the podcast. Enough of me. We are going to dissect Celtic versus AZ Alkmaar. And I forgot to say the one thing that I don't quite understand. I call Germany, Germany, yet for some reason when we're talking about stuff from Holland, we have to call it the Netherlands. And we don't call it AZ Alkmaar, we call it AZ Alkmaar. If a linguist who knows their stuff can explain to me why for some reason we have to use the Dutch terminology for this team, it'd be really useful. Anyway, enough of me rambling about nothing in particular. It's me, Harry Brady, with Anthony, Murray and Sean. Oh, it is, I think it's exactly 30 minutes since the final whistle, and I'm joined by Sean and Anthony. Guys, how's the pacemakers doing? How you managed to cope with that? Anthony, how did you cope with that?
I can look on my Garmin watch right now. There was a spike. There was a spike. I'm down at 82 beats per minute, but there was definitely a spike about half an hour ago. So, yeah, that clearly got me there. Yeah.
Sean, what about you?
I was fine up until, as you just alluded to there, Harry, I was taking notes and I got told that I was being a fucking nerd, quote unquote, in Heracles Bar. And then with half an hour to go, everything just went out the window. It was horrible. It was dramatic, it was exciting, and as I discussed it with various other people, Ange promised us this, didn't he? He said, you know, my style of football will get you off your feet, etc., etc. I'd rather take that than the last 16 months of pish than Neil Lennon served up. How's that?
Well, I think you're right. I mean, I'm watching this, and it's making me think about how football supporters are two-faced, because they get a new manager in who says, my philosophy is going to be, if they score three, we'll score four. And people go, yeah, that's the Celtic way. And then when we're in the middle of a game where it looks like it's going to be, if they score three, we score four, online, it's just a raft, and then if you're in any WhatsApp groups or anything, it's just a raft of people wanting him to have players who just get, basically, people wanting suddenly for us to sign a whole raft of strong physical players, because Duffy worked well last season, who hoof the ball up the park. That's basically what everybody, and then in the final whistle, half of them calm down. But you've made me look at my heart rate. Anthony, my normal resting heart rate is today, the range of my heart rate has been between 56 beats per minute. Average resting heart rate has been 60, but it peaked at 106 in the last couple
and
of
you don't even drink.
I know. The last couple of minutes, it is all, my heart rate has pretty much doubled at some point in the last couple of hours, to the point where I couldn't watch the second half. I'm not a good television spectator, James.
All right, here's the thing. Everybody wants to see Celtic now, don't they? I want to see Celtic. Every time they're playing, I want to see them. You know? And God forgive me, I got offered a ticket to see Celtic against St Mirren last weekend. I couldn't make it for a variety of reasons, but you know what? I wasn't the only person on that list, and there was somebody willing to take that ticket. the football that we are seeing right now is so exhilarating. It's exciting. It takes me back to the Tommy Burns days. It really does. And again, compared to the last 16 months, people are right behind the effort. People are right behind the identity. Remember I mentioned that once or twice? Yeah. Identity that we're proclaiming as a football team. It's just great to see everybody united and just enjoying their football again.
So, Anthony, did you enjoy that?
I mean, obviously now, yes, I'm going to say I did. I think I've had a strange summer and I've kind of rewired myself in a way that watching Celtic, I've never really cared about what the defence do. You know, because domestically, mm-hmm. we're going to outscore our opponents 9 times out of 10. And, you know, I don't really care about defending. But during the Euros, when I had money on Italy for the whole tournament, that whole experience of watching Italy defend in big games, you know, Chiellini and Benucci, you know, like celebrating blocks and stuff like that. And because I had money on the line, I got really into it and then obviously ultimately won it and came out of it really satisfied. So to go back a week or 2 weeks or whenever the first leg was, you know, the Ralston and the Welsh blocks from 2 weeks ago had me enthused. It's like, this is a new me that, one, I appreciate Celtic defenders defending and actually making blocks. And two, you know, it's to my core, Celtic youth players that are doing it. So that, you know, they've got an added love by me for them being successful and hoping they're successful. And I'm, you know, I've been on the record saying I'd give it up on Ralston. So this renaissance on his part is brilliant, and long may it continue. And Welsh, yeah, I'm full, definitely team Welsh. That guy was on his own, you know, at the back tonight, because the guy next to him
should have done better with that first goal, though.
No, that's all Hart. That is all Hart.
No.
Yes, it is.
It is 60% Hart.
I'll
meet me at 80. 80-20.
Right. Well, we'll start with the team. Earlier on in the day, I messaged the people and said, I think this is what the team will be. And the team that he picked was the team that I thought it would be, because he doesn't really have a big squad. Sean, what did you think of the team?
Unsurprising, but that's fair enough. I was looking for a bit of steadiness, and I don't think many people would have disagreed with his selection anyway. I like the fact that he's trying to force a wee bit of responsibility onto Christie, perceived or otherwise. Who's this new Aussie guy that we signed? Is it Tom Rogic?
He was very much like the old Aussie guy tonight, yeah. In terms of being knackered after about 15 minutes.
I like him. He's good.
Anthony, your thoughts on the team? I'll get back to you, Sean, in a sec.
I'm post Edward, so I don't want to see Edward in the team. So the team that we got was exactly the team that I would have selected. But yes, I have been hoodwinked. I have fallen for this Rogic switcheroo. So I don't know. The thing is, you know, not all of Taylor, Ralston, Rogic are all good. The turnaround can't be real for all of them.
Yeah.
So, you know, by process of elimination, we're being tricked for one of them. Or, you know, we'll see who it is over the long term. But yeah.
Or Anthony, to make it even more basic, we're playing Dundee, we're playing St Mirren, and these guys will swallow it up. Yeah.
Well, they were good last week. I mean, Edward a good team?
When we're playing AZ Alkmaar, it's going to be a completely different set of affairs, isn't it?
Tonight was like an episode of Scooby-Doo where somebody pulled the mask off the new Tom Rogic and revealed the old Tom Rogic. Was standing behind him. I'd have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you pesky AZ Alkmaar kids.
I thought you were more a goalkeeper critic, Harry. You know?
Well, I'm going to get on to it. That's why I think Hart's at 60% fault. And actually, but we'll get on to that. So the goal, the first goal, actually, I had a guy in sorting the house alarm in the house, and he's not into football. So then he was having a, I'm going to London at the weekend, type chat, as the, my watch is ticking down between 10 past and quarter past seven. And then I'm like, anyway, put my hand on the door and opening the door, and he's still chatting. Then suddenly my watch explodes with buzzing, and I know there's a goal in the game, but I can't be so rude to go to just stand at... My eyesight's gone to the point where I need glasses to read the watch, so I can't then go and grab my glasses. I can't furtively look down at my watch to see the result. So, Sean, talk us through the first goal, which I then had to see at halftime.
No, it's a very Ange ball taking goal. We drew them in. They were trying to high press. We managed to make the break. Ralston made a fantastic down. Fantastic run down the right, and Kyogo, as we come to unfortunately now expect, take from what you will, just met it and volleyed it in. Beautiful goal.
Anthony, beautiful goal.
Yeah, it's a really great finish. I mean, I think the logic behind such a finish would be, you know, keep it down, and he has blitzed a couple of these over the bar already, but he's also roofed two of them. You know, the keeper just doesn't stop then. So really satisfying. Really, it was a bit like the, you know, shades of Stuttgart away. You know, just that brilliant break down the right, all over the front finish. And what at that moment made us feel like easy street, and what a brilliant start to an away game in Europe. You know, we've seen the opposite so many times. It's a great way to start it. So, yeah, really, really satisfying, really exciting. And, you know, Kyogo just keeps doing it, doesn't he?
So then you're thinking, as you say, Anthony, tie is close to over. And this is, actually, this is the massive difference the away goals make. Because away goals, they need to score four goals to be back in the game.
Yeah.
Whereas without away goals, they need to score three goals to be back in the game. And it just changes things so much. So the first of those goals that they needed came a short time afterwards. Sean, do you want to talk us through how we didn't think they were going to score until they actually put the ball in the back of the net, because their defenders are already going, well, I'm just going to go over here because Hart's going to pass this because that's what we do. So talk us through it.
I'm being generous. It was very unfortunate. Welsh completely misread it. He let it go to the keeper. And unfortunately, as we've discussed just before we came on air, Joe Hart should have just came out and wellied it. He should have put his foot through it. But he didn't. He waited for the ball to come down to him and allowed the forward to nip in. And the whole cavalcade there just makes it look ridiculous, doesn't it? Thankfully, the boys managed to, what's the word I'm looking for, you know, get back on top of things, shall we say. But at that time, I think after they conceded that goal, things looked a wee bit shaky, didn't they?
For a good 80 minutes.
Yeah. Speaks the goalkeeper, of course.
And Anthony, before...
I wouldn't go that far. I would say that... once we got back into the dressing room at halftime, I think things steadied a wee bit. But that was, if anything showed up our inadequacies, if anything showed up our deficiencies and weaknesses, that was it.
So, Anthony, I'll get on to something you said there about getting into halftime. Anthony, you were beforehand saying it was 100% Hart's fault. I was at 60% Hart's fault. So talk me through.
Well, it's the ball over the top. Obviously, the second mistake doesn't happen without the first mistake. But the second mistake can completely salvage the situation. So a guy's made a mistake, misread it, it's bobbled back. That's an error in judgment. It's not a bad decision.
Yeah.
Hart's is a terrible decision, a decision I've seen him do many times before in other jerseys. So, you know, it's that's the kind of thing. That's the reason I don't think Joe Hart's a good goalkeeper. Never have. This isn't wise after the event. He's a bad goalkeeper. And you can get away with having a bad goalkeeper at times, as we have done for the last couple of weeks.
I don't think he's a bad goalkeeper. I just don't think he's as good a goalkeeper as 75 caps for England says.
Well, my issue was always that he stole 30, 40 caps out of Fraser Foster's locker. You know, he was the better goalkeeper. And I do not remember Foster. Maybe he did make mistakes like the one tonight, but I don't remember them.
I do. Particularly in his first season.
I think particularly you're not going to get to be England's number one, unfortunately, if you're going to be Celtic's number one.
And then Pep Guardiola rolls into town and says, you're never playing for my team ever again.
Yeah, but I'm just, I don't think he's a bad goalkeeper. I just don't think he's as good a goalkeeper as 75 caps for England. I think he's a good goalkeeper, just not the best goalkeeper.
No, so I didn't say 75 caps. I said 40 caps. So yeah, I wasn't dismissing his entire career.
40 caps for England, you're not a bad goalkeeper.
But I genuinely never saw it. You know, I don't think he's a great goalkeeper. Pep Guardiola saw right through him, and he struggled over the last couple of years. Went to Torino, wasn't very good. Yes, he's a big character. I'm all about this inverted commas for the listeners. A big sarcastic, big character thing. Because obviously big characters did so well for us last season. And he'll, you know, he's running about celebrating after this. No humility at all. And a kind of roll of the eyes, I got away with one here. Reality is, Joe Hart has this in him. And even after he did it, there were several instances where there was pass backs and he is stepping away from the ball. And you're just like, you're asking for trouble here. This is not going to be the only time this happens. So what was going to be a routine, comfortable victory for a good Celtic side all of a sudden becomes a stressful evening because of one really, really bad bit of goalkeeping. And then what happens next?
Well, then what happens next is, for me, the biggest challenge was you wouldn't know that Turnbull and Rogic were on the park. We had no midfield. And what's been happening, what's looked obvious to me, last week's AZ Alkmaar game and in the Dundee and St Mirren games, in the games when we played well in the last few weeks, and anybody's in any difficulty, they play the ball to Callum McGregor. Even if he's got three people on him, they play the ball to Callum McGregor. He takes it and moves it on. And tonight, the ball was getting played to Callum McGregor and he was losing it. Because at times I thought it was... Because he had nobody to ship it to.
Was Tom Rogic. And then subsequently, Tom was surrounded by three or four men at different occasions. And that led us losing the ball. It was very unfortunate. I agree 100% with what you're saying. But do you not think incrementally we'll get better with the season going on?
Oh, absolutely I do. It's the reason why I didn't get my knickers in a twist when we lost to Hearts. Because, in fact, when we played Midtjylland and we drew one each at Celtic Park, when we drew at Celtic Park with Beaton's sending off, I thought after that game, when he gets a couple more players in and he's been working with the players for longer, we are going to rip teams apart in Scotland. Because you could see that. And then a Hearts game when people were, you know, this is horrendous, this is horrific, they'd watched a different game to me. Because I'd watched a game that Celtic had bossed, that we had 80% possession, that the Hearts fans were booing their team off the pitch. Yeah. And I was watching a game where I was thinking, we just get this working right and we're going to be flying here. And, you know, you can either see about football or you can't. And for me, it was as obvious as a nosy end of your face that we were making massive progress through those games. And, that's it. Tonight reminded me, you mentioned Stuttgart, tonight reminded me of Hapoel Beersheba under Brendan Rodgers, where you know deep down you've got a good team. It's just that individual mistakes and nerves in the team are contributing to catastrophic decisions, allied to a Tynecastle type tight park with a decent atmosphere, and it just feels as you said, Sean, you're just wanting them get in at half time where the manager can say, calm the fuck down.
Yeah.
So second goal, Anthony.
Just to quickly support what you said, yeah, perhaps it was a night for the, you know, the two in front of the back four rather than the one, because McGregor had too much to do, and it, you know, it wasn't McGregor's best night. You know, I'll always fight his corner, but it was not, you know, it could have been last season Scott Brown we were watching tonight. You know, he really did struggle. You're right, Turnbull and Rogic weren't in it. I thought specifically Rogic and Abada made bad decisions. They kept turning into trouble. You know, when we had potential to relieve ourselves and break, they took too many touches, took the wrong foot to touch the ball, and you know, a defender just mopped it away from them, you know. And AZ were very strong and were winning their shares of 50-50s and, you know, good tackles. The ref wasn't giving us much. You know, but that's the way it goes. Anyway, so we get to the second goal.
Anthony, do you not think tonight also encapsulated how fast and how pacey European football is? Is that it is that split second decision, and if you make the wrong decision, that fucks you.
It does, you know, but I think AZ Elkmaar, I don't think they were particularly fast, but they were strong.
Yeah.
So it was like Christie's entire evening was getting ragdolled. Now, if Christie was 21, I can understand why that happened. Christie's, what, 25, 26, 27?
Mm-hmm.
He shouldn't be having a performance where he looks like a child against, you know, let's be honest, Dutch journeymen for the most part, or, you know, Scandinavian journeymen. You know, these guys aren't all internationals.
Which is your point there is why, again, I'll be defensive of Abada, because I agree. I think Abada, you know, was making some wrong decisions and whatever. But at times you've got to remember he's 19 years of age and he's played hardly any games at this level. And, you know, if it was a 19-year-old who'd come through our system, we'd be saying, he's just come through the Celtic Academy, he's only 19.
Yeah.
I'll be sympathetic on them, but the second goal with the fresh air kick off the standard leg. Both goals were one of those ones where seconds before the ball goes in the back of the net, there is no you are not seen with. If somebody said to you, just to pause here and let you know, in 5 seconds' time we'll have lost a goal, you'd be saying, how do we lose a goal in these circumstances?
Unless you had the follow up question, who's the guy in the shot? If they say Starfelt, you could start piecing it together. He's an absolute bomb scare. I am not quick to judge Celtic players. I fought Tebbley's corner for the longest time. I've been arguing that Raphael Scheidt, his minutes in the park, he wasn't that bad. He only played like 45 minutes against Raith Rovers. He did nothing wrong. So the myth that he was as bad as the folklore claims is built on rumours from training, apparently, because he didn't play enough to prove he was crap. This guy, week in, week out, is not good enough. Blatantly. I know you're saying, you know, we're too quick to judge. John Hartson took a little bit of time to get going. This guy is rotten.
Well, that's what I was... And the reason I mentioned John Hartson is because that's at half-time, because you'd have got the Celtic TV coverage, so at half-time, John Hartson's on the Premier Sports thing, and John Hartson is like a very... So St. Anthony, I'm in a WhatsApp group with St. Anthony, who would have been on tonight, but he's pass on our best wishes to St. Anthony. He's got COVID, so he's not feeling. No, he's double jabbed. He's just got a sore head. He's all right, and he's no more than a grumpy mood. He's the grumpiest Celtic supporter. We could be 5-0 up, and his first message would be, "Should have made it 6." And he was on. And John Hartson was like him at half time going mental. And I thought, no, I can vividly remember you signed in August. Your first game was against Kilmarnock on August the 4th when you should have been sent off because you halved a guy. Your first goals weren't until the 20th of October. Then you played another couple of games. I remember driving back down the road from McDermott Park in the early November where he just had a fresh air shot from 3 yards out with an open goal on the phone to my mate saying, I don't think Hartson's going to make it. I think he's another Ian Wright. I think, you know, big guy with a big reputation, but when he's come up to Celtic, it just doesn't fit for him for whatever reason. I think he's going to be that. And I've seen enough of that. Paul Elliott with a shite first season. Alan Stubbs, you know, the whole season being shite. Alan Stubbs with a shite first season. I'll reserve judgment. At the moment, I agree with you. His performances have not been good, and that fresh air shot was horrendous.
Does everybody also forget Van Dijk's performance against Inter Milan? Just throwing that out there.
That was well into his Celtic career, though.
Well, Van Dijk's early Celtic career, where he got dropped after his... who was it we played away from home? All the way to Azerbaijan or whatever it was, Karabag or something like that. I can't even remember.
Yeah.
And he was horrendous and got dropped for the home leg. So I'm not saying Staffel's going to turn into Van Dijk. I'm not. I am just saying I just do not... I will see a player and say he is a quality player, like Kyogo. You will watch him and say he's a quality player. He will be a quality player for us. Unless he turns into Marco Negri and goes and plays squash and has an eye injury, he's going to be a quality player for us. Very, very rarely would completely write a player off inside the first 10 games.
I'd say within the first 10 minutes today, you know, even with the score at 0-0, you know, when we are trying to pass the ball around and stuff, he hits passes. He under-hits passes. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's like an amateur playing with pros. You know, his ball out to the right, his ball out to the left. They're not fast enough. And they're going to get intercepted time and time again. Maybe his confidence is just rock bottom right now or something. But he does not look good enough.
Like Duffy, who's just the two-man of the match awards for Brighton.
That's actually my main point, in the sense that do you think he requires maybe a month or two more of Angelos coaching him?
He's getting nutmegged. You know, he's getting roughed up. He's making bad passes. He's scoring OGs now. Add that to the list. I mean, he's the Swedish Gary Caldwell. We'll put an absolute turkey here.
Like I say, I'll reserve judgment. I'm not, as I say, I'm not saying he's a good player, and I'm not saying he's not playing badly. But before deciding to write him off, I'll reserve judgment. So
if I gave you two options for Sunday, put Ralston in one and play Juranovic or Jovanovic or whatever the Croat's name is on the right, or play Starfelt in current form away at Ibrox, what would you do?
I'd play Starfelt. I'm not going to play a guy who 2 months ago we didn't think he could even play at right back. I'm not going to suddenly play him in centre half.
Same with Harry, but I'd also bring on the Croatian lad with about half an hour to go.
So then we had Greg Taylor, who just get off. Was the text messages I kicked out from people?
Get him off.
Just get off. Get off. Stop going down and staying on. Just get off. Yeah. What were your thoughts on Taylor going off after only 30 minutes and Montgomery coming on, Sean?
It was fine, notwithstanding Greg Taylor going down, oh, it's me old war wound mentality, you know. If you're not fit, get off the park because you're holding your team back. Is there really any more to stipulate apart from that?
I think I'll be more sympathetic for the lad. You know, when he first fell, as someone who once... you know, double fractured my lower arm in a similar slip.
Yes. My first thought was
panic, and I feel sorry for this boy. And you know, he tried to run it off. Maybe the second time was a bit daft, but
he went down a couple of times.
Well, that's what I said. Perhaps the second time was a bit over the top, but
yeah,
a-hole. So ultimately he had to come off, and then you have to applaud the boy that came on. You know, wasn't brilliant, but did everything he could to help Celtic get through tonight.
100%. No danger. Yeah. He did fantastic when he came on. He did the job I was expecting of him. And considering how young and experienced he was, no problem there.
So at 30 minutes, just to let you know, I talked about St. Anthony being the type of person who everything's shy, even if we won 5-0. At 30 minutes, St. Anthony was wanting, after Montgomery had come on for Taylor, St. Anthony was wanting Ange to make two further substitutions. Sending a message saying, is this what's wrong with Ange? And he's not here to defend himself, but is this what's wrong with Ange? He's far too idealistic and should be making pragmatic changes. What, inside 30 minutes to make three substitutions? What level of panic would that indicate to the team? Oh, by the way, I am panicking so much, I've taken three of you off and made the changes.
Harry, seeing when I was Brian watching this game, I've just got this note and it just says, own goal, 25 minutes, WTF.
Well, but
sometimes football just doesn't make sense.
For me, the most important thing at that point is not to then make three further substitutions so the team doesn't know what system it's playing, runs around like headless chickens, and it's obvious the manager's panicking. We're still in the lead in the tie. You just need to get to half time and the manager say, calm down. Right. Turnbull, Christie's wide left, you're not. So stop running after the ball and missing it and then making a big sigh and breath and then jogging back. You go and sit next to Callum McGregor and the two of you just sit a bit deeper. Tom, when you get the ball, just lay it out wide and stay in the middle of the pitch. And just be calm. That's what you're looking for at half time. So, Anthony, do you think that happened?
To an extent. I remember that, like, at the 35th minute thinking, all we need to do, yeah, exactly that. We need to get in at half time, and I have 100% faith in Ange, you know, fiddling with the wiring and having us in a better position for the second half than we are right now. That was the longest 10 minutes of the year. That was torture. But we got up there, and then again, like I was saying, okay, now he'll do his work. But then it started pretty ropey. Ultimately, it kicked in, and the guys did exactly what you just said, and then there were a couple of little tweaks in the personnel. But ultimately, I think there was a frame of mind shift at some point where, you know, we started to get the ball a little bit further up in their half. We stopped. The balls over the top, although they were plentiful, you kind of got the impression that we were going to deal with some of them, and maybe Hart started getting off his line a little bit quicker. You know, he took a couple confidently, and then you started to think, we can do this, you know. I mean, ultimately, the Hail Marys were going to come at the end by them when they had to, and you had to allow for that, and obviously we got away with a couple. But ultimately, it's nice to be confident that our coach is watching the game and has some idea how we're going to get through it.
I think, come back to more or less this time last year, we could not defend a set piece to save our life. And we started comparing notes on Neil Lennon's defence, didn't we? I don't know what to do. I don't want these guys to make them stop these balls coming in and all the rest. But we defend set pieces now, don't we?
Well, we've definitely got one guy who's taking responsibility for it.
Yeah,
he was absolutely heroic tonight, Welsh. Really was good.
100%. 100%. Yeah.
So, because my heart rate had doubled, and I am just a dreadful watcher of tense games on the television.
It's a bad thing, Harry.
There's at least one heart surgeon listens to our podcast, and I'm sure he's sitting there going, that's because it's not a good thing.
Is he taking us off, is he?
Well, put it this way, when I'm not doing any activity and my heart rate doubles, that surely can't be. It's not like my heart rate doubled because I was watching the game on my phone whilst out for a jog or something like that. Second half, I dipped in and out of it. Do you know, it's a lucky thing that started. Hapoel Beersheba, I did it. Dipped in and out of that game. And we got through Lazio away. I remember I actually walked back in the room just to see Incham run up the park and put the ball in the back of the net. And actually, there was a point tonight where I came and I looked. And I looked at my watch and I thought, oh, Jesus, there's still half an hour to go. Because I had it in my head the game was finishing at 15:15. And right. I was thinking, this is lasting forever. And then went back upstairs, looked at the, because I was watching it upstairs, looked at the time on it, and I thought, it can only be about 10 minutes to go here.
Right. I'm looking back at my notes and I was going, 30 minutes gone, completely open. Is a press working? Question mark. You know, Celtic hitting, high ball long quite a bit. And then I realised that is not even the halfway mark. That's only half an hour gone. And it's such an open game. And I think we're going to have to, unfortunately, get used to that with Ange. Is that, we're just going to constantly high press the opposition, but the opposition is going to constantly hit us in the same way. And God damn it, is it going to be good for our heart rate, as you're saying, Harry? Possibly not. But you know what? And again, I come back to this point I made earlier. Is it better than the last 16 months pish that we saw? Absolutely.
So, Anthony, summarise the second half.
I've written in my digital notes 7 minutes of torture. Then it says Harp save. So there was the one where Harp, I think it was a guy went inside right or inside left. You know, it was a shot across the box.
Yeah.
And Harp made the second of two saves that were similar. You know, the classic, the keeper should be saving that, but give him credit for actually saving it. So that was good.
With the food saves, isn't he?
Yeah. And then there was a lot of spells where, you know, Christie was weak, McGregor was weak. But then we had a good break and Rogic had a kind of dipping volley with his last touch. It was a rubbish effort, but it got us up the park. And at which point Edouard came on. And I think Edouard, he had one bad touch, then he had two really good touches. Do you know what I mean? And that brought him into the game. You know, it got him climatised to the situation. And yeah. Edouard was all right. I think he actually, you know, he chipped in the most pragmatic way in the circumstances. Kyogo picked up an injury. Their captain got a yellow card, which helps because, you know, he can no longer, you know, be so confident in roughing up our midfielders. And maybe, you know, his influence waned. There was one mistake that Welsh made when he did try and break too quickly. But McGregor, for once, mopped up for him. And I think that was the last time I was genuinely stressed up to that point when, you know, obviously the last breaks and chances are extremely stressful. But we had, you know, Christie had a shot over the bar at that point. Montgomery had a shot from distance. You know, we'd definitely come back into the game versus the previous 50 minutes.
Yeah. Well, we managed to reverse the momentum, basically, and that's a huge thing. Like you say, Montgomery had a big chance in 68 minutes. Unfortunately, he missed, and then straight after that, Christie managed to miss it as well. 78 minutes, there was a big chance as well. If we had got that, that would have been it completely. Nopal Ngoli, I find that very interesting. Quite frankly,
he's Montgomery not kicked the ball came for on. Weeks, has he?
What's that?
He's not kicked a ball for weeks, so he's not going to get thrown on in that circumstance.
I just find it quite interesting. Are they planning just to guess him or get rid of him or what's the
As far as I'm aware, we are desperate to get Bolingoli, Barkas, Ayeti out of the club.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, we are where we are. Hopefully, we'll get.
I will not talk any more about that.
Well, you know, what is it? I put on the end of BBC Scotland, I put on a bit of the Rangers game, which again I'll talk about because we're about to play them. Bit of the Rangers game. I've got a mate who's a Rangers fan who's saying that we must be rubbing our hands in glee about playing Rangers on Sunday because they have been crap all season, according to him. And I'm watching and Neil McCann saying, well, the performance doesn't matter. All that matters here is that Rangers are through to the next round. Nobody's going to look at the books, history books, and say, oh, but they performed poorly there. They went through, and that's all that matters. And regardless of anything, yes, we had group football, but you just want to be... I know there's not actually that much difference in money between the Europa League and the Conference League, but you just want to be... I always want to see Celtic playing at the highest standard that Celtic can play at, because... If we play the highest standard we can, the young players that you keep mentioning, Anthony, for me, I get very frustrated when a new manager comes in and people say, no. What he needs to do is be pragmatic for a period of time until he's got the players playing that he wants to do. And for me, that's people will never learn if you continually say to them, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get you to play in a shite way until you're good enough to play in a good way. Well, how do you ever get them good enough? So the only way that the Celtic players, you mentioned Ralston and Welsh and any of the others, know what standard they've got to be at is to play people better than St Mirren and Dundee.
Understand
that's the level that you've got to be at every single week. That's what it is for me. So we're through. I wish I had the ability to quickly go on the internet and work out who we might play in the next round. But I don't.
Eddie Pearson has just posted a big the pots. So
has he?
A lot of interesting games there, yeah.
He's a complete bam though, in fairness.
Who might we get then? read them out to the listener.
Pot one, Lyon, starring Moussa Dembele, Napoli, Bayer Leverkusen, Dinamo Zagreb, Lazio. Oh, we can beat them, that's right. Slavia Prague, Olympiacos, and Monaco. We've got a decent record in France recently. I fancy that.
We could get Lazio again.
Is Dembele not? I thought I was a loan.
He was on loan at Madrid, yeah. Atletico, but he's back at Lyon. Our pot. So we are pot two.
Yeah. We are the top seeds in pot two.
So we can't. I don't need to read any of that list, I guess.
No, you can't. You know. So, but people need to know that Rangers are also pot two, and so are Leicester.
Leicester City. Yeah, we've dodged that. All right. So pot three: Eindhoven, Marseille, Ludogorets, West Ham, Real Sociedad, Real Betis, Fenerbahce, Sparta Moscow. We've got a good record against the Russians, don't we? Well, yeah, not that St. Petersburg dipped on us, but. Yeah. Yeah. The Moscow teams we usually
get. Yeah, Moscow teams, yeah.
Top four. Oh, this is a top two would be good for me. Sparta Prague. I could get to that. Rapid Vienna. I went to see them at the weekend. Galatasaray. I'm very pro Rapid Vienna, by the way. That's how contrary I am.
Why?
I'm a pro Rapid Vienna Celtic fan.
You're just a contrarian.
No. You see, that's you giving away your age, Anthony.
Yeah.
Because I was alive when that happened.
If we played Rapid Vienna, any less than Celtic 75, Rapid Vienna 0, is not, with Rapid Vienna having four players sent off, is not good enough for me. I loathe that club.
Pot four, Mitchelland, our old friends.
Jesus Christ.
Ferencváros, our old friends. Royal Antwerp, Sturm Graz, that's not far from me as well, and Brøndby. Sure, they've probably beaten us at some point.
Remember, people
as well.
Say, "When you go up the drink, Sean." There we are.
We could have a real right wing fest that we're going to be playing. We could have Lazio, we could have West Ham, and I'm sure there's one of the. I'm sure one of the Turkish teams is probably right wing. We could have a real.
We're nuts anyway, aren't
we?
Yeah.
We could have the Green Brigade really stacking up the fines for us.
Well, if we hear you're political,
yeah, we could, there's some real trouble groups we could have there.
You might have to bring your A game to the table here, yeah.
We could have a, also a bit of a nothing group. where it's like, I mean, you'd be hoping to get through, but in terms of no sexy ties at all, you could have something like Olympiakos, Bromby, and Ludogorets. What an unsexy group that would be.
I take it.
So would I.
Define unsexy.
I mean, remember the Champions League group we got when it was called like the group of aristocracy or whatever? Us, Ajax, Barca, and Milan. It was like, this is no fun when you're at the bottom of it.
Yeah. PSG, Barca, Man City. Yeah, just give us all those teams, please. So yeah, I think the draw's tomorrow. Right about tomorrow lunchtime, I think the draw is. So that's good. For those people wanting to know, we will be playing on the 16th and 30th of September, the 21st of October, the 4th of November, the 25th of November, and the 9th of December. So, big tight game on the 9th of December as to whether we win the group or just finish second. Rangers, I was just thinking. I was talking about having a right-wing group. Rangers could really have a love-in fest. They could get Lazio and they could get West Ham United. And then I'm sure, I don't know, somebody who knows Austrian football will know whether Rapid Vienna or Sturm Graz had a secret Nazi past or something like that.
I think everyone in Austria had a secret Nazi past, God bless them. But Rapid Vienna are the...
Celebrated the Anschluss with great glee.
Here's a cool fact. Rapid Vienna, one, they are the working class team of Vienna. So they're basically the Celtic of Vienna to some extent. And also... Also, they won a German Bundesliga back in the early 40s. Oh. And the day they won it, Hitler started Operation Barbarossa. So it was a big day in Germany, Greater Germany that day.
Sometimes you just can't get the break.
So we better watch out for trouble in the east then. If Rapid Vienna start doing well. So are there any German teams in those that set up there?
Leverkusen.
Oh yeah. Mm. I just couldn't see them.
But German teams are just. And Frankfurt. Anyway,
Eintracht Frankfurt as well.
Eintracht Frankfurt. They're in the same group as us, so we can't. That's why I'm not really paying attention to them.
The only Bundesliga experience I've ever had was Frankfurt against Bayern Munich, and Frankfurt beat Munich 5-1. And it was the day that Niko Kovac decided to fall on the sword, strangely enough. But the atmosphere, the whole Bundesliga experience, if you have not done this already, do it, because it is just top-notch. It is. The Munich players at the end of the game, even though they've been beaten 5-1, went over and apologised to their fans. The Frankfurt players went over and sat in the penalty box and listened to their fans just sing songs about their experience on that day. It was absolutely tremendous. If you haven't seen that and been part of a Bundesliga experience, get there, do it. It's fantastic.
So that's us through Europa League group football with teams that actually most of that list you would have probably been looking at us playing against in Champions League football in a few years gone past. And again,
is it true that Olivier and Chan is still unemployed?
It is true, he's still unemployed.
Yeah, weird. Thanks for clarifying that, by the way.
Yes. Another thing that tonight has shown, the Scottish press have a love of criticising us or even Rangers if we don't perform well in Europe. And they pat Aberdeen, Hibs, St Johnson, et al. On the back when they get knocked out. They should be playing in the Conference League. And they're not, because mediocrity is accepted for the rest of the... for the lesser clubs in Scottish football. St Johnson lost 2-0 at home and Aberdeen lost 3-1 at home. And this whole Conference League competition is specifically designed for clubs like the Scottish club. So once again, Michelin have a lower turnover and wage bill than Aberdeen, Hibs, or Hibs do.
And yeah, we have a lower attendance than.
Yeah, we don't criticise them. Anyway, that's them through. So next big game up for Ange is this Sunday, where we are playing the COVID-ravaged, only because they were going on planes and they had to be truthful about their results and couldn't send them to Northern Ireland like they did last season when they had a party in September and got away with it, a party in February and got away with it, and a party in March and got away with it. But it's not really ravaged because it's three players and the new rules allow their close contacts to play on Sunday. So, hey-ho. Anyway, we got a game on Sunday against the team who never get COVID. Anthony, what's your thoughts about Sunday?
As confident as we could have been for a long, 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 long time. You know, nearly 2 years where we have allowed those assholes to turn us over, look extremely bad. The last time we even beat them in the cup, you know, even that was a stressful affair. Yep. Where we needed our greatest goalkeeper to save us. It's been absolutely depressing watching Celtic playing those guys in the last couple of years. But hope has returned, belief is returning. There's players there that could step into this game and be sort of Petrov, Mo Dembele kind of characters that just slay them and continue to slay them for the next couple of years. There's, you know, young players like Turnbull need to grow up and turn up and do something in these games, prove they're real footballers. So there's a huge opportunities in front of a lot of Celtic players, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what they can do.
Sean?
Yeah, it's a strange one, Harry. Rangers are playing with a really square back four right now. And I remember Billy McNeil saying, actually, funnily enough, during the centenary season, that Rangers traditionally play with that. I find that very strange. And if they play those tactics, do you think we, Diogo, will lap that up? Absolutely. He's going to play off the shoulder of the nearest center defender, and that's just manna from heaven for that wee guy. Like Anthony's saying, for the first time in a long time, I'm actually looking forward not just to seeing Celtic play, but seeing Celtic play against our big rivals, and I'm feeling relatively confident about Sunday. It's going to be hard though. These guys are going to be no pushovers. They're going to defend well, but I think if you get wee Kyogo and his right mentality and his right moves and the right passes, I think we'll do all right.
But, I mean, there's some things that we know is going to happen in the game. We know that their back four will struggle with Kyogo's pace.
Yeah.
We know that their back four will employ the same tactics as St Mirren, Dundee and Hearts did, which is try and kick him off the ball. Mm-hmm. We know that they will be incredibly physical across the park, and we know that they will target our left back position because that's our weakest link.
So
we know all of those things that the way that the game's going to go in those aspects. So it's about whether Clancy's got the balls to be hard at Ibrox. I think we are now 21 months since a Rangers player was sent off in a domestic game in Scottish football, yet in five European games they've had three players sent off. And did you know the last Rangers player to be sent off in a domestic game was against Celtic?
What?
I'm just saying, it was 21 months ago, the last time they had a player sent off, and it was against Celtic.
Who was it?
Morales or Kent?
I say that stat without having the information immediately to hand. So the red cards of Rangers were Aleska, whatever they're called, Slavia Prague, and then December 2019 against Celtic in the league, it was Alfredo Morelos. Then it was December 2019 against Motherwell in the league, and it was Alfredo Morelos. Then it was Ryan Jack against Young Boys. Then it was Jordan Jones in September 2019 against Celtic. Alan McGregor in May 2019. Then two players on the 31st of March against Celtic. And that was Andy Halliday and Alfredo Morelos. And the Rangers player to be sent off before that was Alfredo Morelos. So if you want to put a bet on that it is going to be...
No, Harry, I'm not seeing a recurring theme here. I'm not seeing the same player constantly come up in the names that you're suggesting. Okay, so just...
It'll be interesting how he does against... You know, if Starfelt plays, it will be... I mean, I think Morelos is shite, but other people say he's good. So up against a low on confidence centre-half who's not, you know, playing particularly well, that's somewhere where I'm not entirely confident. You know, I wouldn't bet on us keeping a clean sheet. But yeah, my hope would be that going forward, we've got more than enough to score a couple past then.
So four of the last six...
The Rangers fans and Mace with keep on proposing with their back four is they really don't think that their defence is firing on any sort of cylinders that they were doing last season. So that's the flip side of that, if you want to make it again.
The last four of the last six times a Rangers player's been sent off has been against Celtic. I think we're looking at when the fourth goal goes in, one of their players taking a wild kick in a bad mood when it's only 17 minutes gone. And,
like a Jonesy. Yeah.
We are ripping them to pieces and they just take a wild hack at Kyogo, straight red, down to 10 men. And they've got 70 minutes still to play. Yeah, four down with 10 men. That's my prediction.
No, very optimistic.
Can I ask you two boys something though? Right now, is that say at the start of the season, did you think that you would look so forward to seeing Celtic play every week?
I felt this way since the day Lennon got fired. the future started that day. So yes, obviously. I mean, just 2 weeks ago in the live show on a Sunday night, I didn't think we'd... I was not confident we'd get through Alkmaar. I thought we'd win the whole game, but maybe fall out. But so we've already kind of, you know, we're under par, to use that expression correctly. Under par is a good thing, idiots of the world. Not a bad thing. Under par is a good thing. Let's fix that. That expression.
Same people that think northeast is north.
Oh, there's an update for the listeners.
Take that, Aberdeen.
Sean, what's the opposite of north?
South.
Yes. In the Austria at Rapid Vienna Stadium.
I'm a history teacher and I know that.
Rapid Vienna Stadium, the ultras all sit in the west end, which is opposite the north stand. Ultras of the world unite in failing to grasp compass points, apparently. Sorry, I digress.
But I was just serving that up on a plate for you, Anthony.
Is that every single Celtic fan I know want to see Celtic lead base. They want to see Celtic because they're playing such exhilarating, exciting football. And yes, okay, right, we might concede a couple of goals here and there or whatever, but Jesus, you know, I put up on Twitter with my mate Paddy. I don't know if anybody's ever seen The West Wing, but Sam Seaborn, you know, Rob Lowe's character, he turned around to Joyce and said, come back to me if he's the real deal. And then he comes back to him and he just raps on the door and he just goes, thumbs up. And he doesn't even want to say anything. He just points at his face. And I said, Paddy, that's you, because he went to see Celtic against St. Mirren this weekend, and he just went, that's it. Ange Ball is a real thing. Come and see it. It's fantastic. And I want to see Ange Ball in the flesh. I don't know, Harry, you've seen Ange Ball in the flesh a few times now, haven't you?
It's lovely to watch. It's the movement off the ball. It's the pace. I mean, I'm in the North Stand
up. So you're high up. Telly, you know.
You're high up, and so you do see people's runs that you can think, oh, if only you'd seen that. Yeah, if only you'd been 75 foot tall and been able to see over everybody to be able to make that through ball.
Well, I'm going to have that on my tombstone, actually, but that's beside the point, you know.
But yeah,
my point is, we're seeing a Celtic team that just grabs people, isn't it? You know, they want to see Celtic, and it's just constant, oh, man, you know.
It's like somebody's pressed a giant. I do feel at the moment everything about the club is as if somebody's just pressed a giant reset button.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, I know I said it before, I didn't want to not win the 10, but if ever you were going to have a season where we didn't win the league, a season when nobody was there to see it, is the best it could have been. Every one of those games is instantly forgettable. It's as if somebody's pressed a reset button and said, you can forget about that. That didn't really happen. That was just like a pretend season where we were just keeping the players fresh till the real one started up again. So if we win the league this season, I'm going to pretend this is. Because last season didn't really happen.
One of my highlights so far is, again, to go back to the first leg of the Alkmaar game, you know, when we'd had the Welsh save, we'd had the Ralston block, and then we got that free kick on the left, like minutes to go, and McGregor looks to the dugout as if to, you know, will we do the corner, you know, roll it into the corner thing, and you just hear like, get in the box. It's like, yeah, that's the spirit. Here we go, get in the box.
So I'm
100% behind Ange. He's got a philosophy. He's got an identity. He's all got a whole no BS attitude, hasn't he? He truly doesn't suffer fools gladly, like, does he?
No, I think we said that in the first podcast after he was in. He's got a look on his face that if you were asking him a question, if you started going down the route of asking a controversial question, in your head you'd be thinking, Change tack. It looks like he would really, really make you feel like 2 inches tall if you asked a stupid
intellectually
question.
Intellectually,
yeah, but not in a Gordon Strachan way. You know, not in a belittling you as a person way. Just a, what the fuck are you doing asking me that question? In a slightly menacing, could be in the Sopranos way.
Everybody's behind him.
So yeah, right. Okay, so we're through. Doesn't matter. We're through. It was tense. Yeah. We got there. He calmed the team down at halftime. We got there. It was individual errors. And these things happen.
Harry, when's the draw for the...
Tomorrow. I think it's lunchtime tomorrow. I think it's 12 o'clock tomorrow or 1 o'clock tomorrow. Usually it's after the... I'm pretty sure it is. It's usually after the Champions League draw. So unless... Sometimes they have one on a Friday and one on a Monday. I'm just looking through. I can't see the date. I'm not looking quick enough.
But just going back to my original point, hands up, who loves watching Celtic right now?
Oh, absolutely. It's a joy to watch.
I love watching Celtic right now.
So on Sunday, where are you going to be watching the game, Sean?
With my two beautiful, intelligent, wonderful sons. I can't make any guarantees after that.
Anthony, where are you going to be watching the game?
It depends on the result.
In my apartment, watching on the Celtic TV, as always.
Right, I'm just looking at the dates. That can be a draw for Europa League group stages, and the draw for the Conference League is tomorrow. Have I missed it because I couldn't care less about it because we're not in it? Was the Champions League draw today?
It was,
possibly.
Yeah. And yeah, the oil baron draw made.
Yeah, who wants to be in that competition anyway?
Well, You know what?
Something we do if we win the league this season, we do.
Simon Cooper, of all people, made a pretty relative point. Said it's going to come to the point where nobody wants to see these games anymore. It's going to be a select few that can only win the Champions League. Whereas if you go back to 1998, there's a whole host of teams could have made a good stab at it. So.
But Real Madrid did win it in 1998. Yes. The more things change.
On that note.
Yeah, on that note. Right, what's the score going to be, Anthony?
4-2.
Excellent. I'm assuming to Celtic.
Oh, yeah, 4-2 away went. Sorry, 2-4. Yeah.
Yes. Sean?
I want a 1-0 win with a dodgy offside goal or a handball. Something as illegal, I would let it marry my sister. Is that bad? How's that?
Yeah, well, maybe not admit that to lots of people. somebody asked me on the.
I know Anthony likes to be the shock jock, but you know, I steal someone's thunder here. You know? I want them to lose in a really bad way. How's that?
Well, I just think if Kyogo scores a hat trick, that would annoy enough of them.
Yes, that too. Yeah.
I was on Graves Beers podcast and I said I don't know. I just know that Celtic will score at least 2 goals, and that's
square defence. You know.
My mate is a Rangers fan. He's talking about they are not playing well. They are playing really sluggish. Over the back, Kyogo.
And I watched that game today, and they were pedestrian, to say the least. But a Glasgow derby, you know, raises some guys, doesn't it? You know,
Are they still playing Davis?
Yes.
He's a good player, but nothing lasts forever.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, nothing lasts forever. And if you get pace, if you're playing with pace.
But he was being shown up in the same way as Scott Brown was last year when our collective team was shite.
So. That's us. We're through. We're gonna win 4-2.
On that happy note.
Woohoo. Anyway, I will say Sean and Anthony. Thanks for much.
Bring me sunshine in your smile.
So I hope you enjoyed that podcast. And we will have more soon, as I always say. Anyway, enough of me. This is me, Harry Brady, saying goodnight and God bless. That was Anthony Murray and Sean. And here's to Sunday. Hail, hail, and God bless.
To each brand new bright tomorrow, make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love. Bring me sunshine in your smile. Bring me laughter all the while. In this world where we live, there should be more happiness. So much joy you can give to each brand new bright tomorrow. Make me happy through the years. Never bring me any tears. Let your arms be as warm as the sun from up above. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring me love, sweet love. Bring me fun, bring me sunshine, bring